Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to Pure Hustle Podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. We do have a request though before we get started. If you have found our content to be entertaining or helpful, would you consider leaving us a review on iTunes? Those 5-star reviews really help to make sure that our content gets out there and that our show continues to grow.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Pure Hustle Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Orlando. And we're on episode 282. And this is an interesting one. It's an update with Hustle of the Week episode.
Yeah, back-to-back updates. I think there's just stuff going on. And then also, you got some stuff going on in your personal life, right? Like, it was a little hard to come up with a themed episode. What's going on, Orlando?
Oh, you want me to start? I was going to make that a random story, but I guess I'll make the other stuff a random story.
We could save it if you want.
Well, no. I mean, we'll talk about the flooding later. So people aren't thinking like 20 minutes, like what's happened in my life that we had to switch things up. So anyway, I want to start with you. How are things going for you?
Yeah. Pretty good. I've just been really trying to do a lot more listing, like I said, and it's been very, very fruitful for me. One of the things I talked on the last update episode that we did is that there seems to be something about newer listings being less stale. And that was my experience for the first couple of weeks while I started listing again. It was a lot of my newer items selling. And so, when I say newer, I mean new listings. So I think recent listings, I guess, would be maybe a better way of articulating that. So the recent listings would be the ones that were selling in the beginning. And I mentioned I wasn't sure whether that was eBay doing that, that there was maybe something wrong with their system of how they got that set up. If it was just because I've gotten better at, you know, the items that I'm picking up, you know, my pricing is more accurate because I've done the most recent research. So not sure about that. However, I've noticed over the last couple of weeks that it's kind of shifting more towards like everything selling again. And my wife said it best, I think, is that it really just feels like eBay was holding our store hostage. Because there was,
truth to that. I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah, because there was a couple of months there where like we were active in the sense that we'd send offers. If items sold, we'd go out and ship it right away. But we weren't really listing new things because one, we were about ready to do a huge move. And so I wasn't sourcing as much. I didn't want to list a whole bunch of new things. Or even if I had a good opportunity to, you know, pick up totes worth of stuff, I didn't want it. I didn't want to have to move a ton of stuff. So I was actually trying to downsize. So I was trying to move things without listing new things. And even first moving here, getting settled into my house, getting eBay kind of up and running again, all of that, trying to figure out, you know, what thrift stores would be good and everything, but not really listing consistently. It felt like this eBay store was just dead. And it was dead. And hearing everybody else talk about eBay being dead, I guess part of me was just like, well, I guess just this is par for the course. This is everybody's kind of experiencing this. But then once I started like really being consistent with my listings again, and when I mean consistent, I mean consistent in the sense of even the time of the day I'm listing, because I'm like doing a lot of my listings when I'm working out in the morning. So like very consistent, like how the algorithm is being fed. And now things are selling even that. A lot of older listings, things that have been up forever. I haven't changed my prices. I haven't done anything different. And now those things are moving. And so it really does kind of feel like you need to be consistently putting new stuff up or your stuff isn't going to be seen. Now, of course, if you've got the only listing of some rare, you know, shirt or card or something that nobody else has listed, if somebody searches it and you're the only one, it's going to come up whether you've listed it a year ago and you haven't done anything else, or if you're, you know, consistently listing. So there are exceptions to that. But I think if you're just looking at like getting that visibility to your store, I think consistent listing is important. And I don't know what that means for like, what if you're just kind of done? You're like, I want to be done reselling. I have all these items. I don't want to like just sell it to another reseller. So I'm just going to just keep selling everything that I have until everything's sold. I'm not going to source anymore. I almost feel like we're stuck as resellers, either continually building our store or feeding the machine. Like, it's like you're constantly feeding. It's like a fire. You got to feed the fire. If you don't feed the fire, it's going to go out. And then what? Yeah. Right. Like you still need the warmth. You need some of the money coming in, and you want to get rid of items. So there does seem to be some aspect of your store is just held hostage if you're not listing more. And part of it could be, we've talked in the past about like the dopamine hits and how social media utilizes various things. And it could be that they're trying to get you to do that, list items, put things on sales, make offers, because then when sales come in, you get those dopamine hits, you continue. It's like they're trying to reward good behavior. It's like when you're trying to train a dog, right? When you want to train a dog, the best way to do it, at least, I mean, I'm not an expert, but is when they do the behavior you want, you reward it, you praise it heavily. It's like, yes, this is what, like, you went potty outside, or you stopped when you're supposed to stop. And then that's when you give the treat. That's when you reward. And it's almost like you reward the behavior you want, so you get more of it. And I almost feel like that's what eBay or other platforms do, is they want to see you listing. They want to see you putting things on sale. They want to see you, you know, moving items in your store. And if you are being a good boy, then you're going to get the treats, and they're going to be getting your items, you know, visible. And then that gives you that, oh, I'm doing good, I'm doing good. And you're getting, I mean, obviously the rewards you want, which is money. So you continue doing that. And then that's how they hook the most active sellers, the people who are just going to like die hard sell, as opposed to people. I almost feel like it's hard to stay a hobbyist. Either you go all in, or you kind of end up getting stuck. If that makes
sense. I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. I've contemplated that maybe one day there will be no more reselling, but I thought it would have to be either completely end it, like get rid of all your inventory, you never source again, because if you leave it open just a little bit, you're going to go sourcing again, and then you're going to get the dopamine hit, and you're going to celebrate the fact that you sold something, and you're like, oh, you know what, that was kind of, I enjoyed that, you know, and maybe not everybody's built like we're built, but I don't see reselling ever going away. It's kind of like the podcast. I don't see the podcast ever going away, right? I think there'll be, whether you and I are doing this until we pass away, whether one of us passes away early, that I don't have to go down to that dark road, or, man, you know,
this is gloomy.
Or one of us decides that we don't want, or one of us decides we don't want to do it anymore. Like, it'll continue because it's something, you know, we both enjoy to some level, right? Some of us enjoy more social media. Some of us enjoy the production. You know, there's different aspects of it. And so, yeah, I get what you're saying. I really do. I thought you meant hold hostage in the sense that they were kind of like punishing you for not doing anything for a while. Or maybe that's what you meant. Like, they were punishing you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. And then I see... I just pulled up the episode notes here, and I see you mentioned the glitch continues on yours, so I don't want to steal your thunder here. But if I remember right, what was it that you said the glitch was for eBay offers? Because I've started noticing something now.
Oh, no, it wasn't eBay offers. It was, you would get through the whole entire listing process. You'd upload the pictures, you put the title, description, and then you hit list it, and then it would do like the circle of death. It would never. And so... you do it on Safari, then you go to Google and it would work, and then it would stop working on Google. You go to Safari, it would work, and then sometimes it just wouldn't work. Now, not to steal your thunder, but I recognize that this happens to me if I list after 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If I list before that, things are good, but something's happening in the middle of the night where eBay is glitching. And some people have told me, well, Orlando, maybe do you have a VPN? I'm like, yeah, I have a VPN, but I've actually turned off the VPN at times to see if that's going to do it. And I still get the same issue. And I've also had the issue on my cell phone. So anyways, what were you going to say about the glitching?
Yeah, so I thought that originally when we were talking about it had something to do with offers.
Yes.
I wasn't paying, I guess, as close of attention because it wasn't something that seemed to be affecting me. But what I'm experiencing right now is, and it could just be my app. I think I've had something similar to this in the past. Okay. But I'll get an offer. An offer comes in. I click review offer and it's as if the offer is not there. Like I can't open it up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what I do. I go to the email, I try and open it, but I see that there's an offer there. And then my wife is asking me like, are you going to ever accept this offer? And I'm like, I'm trying to see, I think they might've rescinded it or something because it's not there. And she's like, I can accept it. And then, so she would accept the offer. I've updated my eBay. It wasn't that. So the only thing that I could think is I might need to uninstall it and reinstall it. I've had in the past weird things like that happen, or I don't know. I'm sure maybe something like clearing the cache or whatever would help with that as well. But I'm just a full restart on it sometimes is just the easiest way. So I thought maybe I wasn't alone and that was like something other people were experiencing as well. But it's been really annoying because then, you know, a lot of times you want to act right away when an offer comes in because you don't want somebody to change their mind and you know, retract their offer. And so sometimes an offer comes in, or even if I want to just review the offer to maybe send a counter offer, and I can't do it on my phone at all. So I'm stuck like waiting until I can get in contact with my wife. If, you know, if I'm at work, waiting for her to go in and she's got to do it. So it's been a bit of a pain. That's been my glitch.
Yeah, no, the glitch on mine has been really frustrating. And did you have more to share?
No, that's good.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, so I'm glad we got the glitch out of the way, because it has been frustrating. And I agree with you in the fact that I don't know if eBay was, you know, punishing me, but I had mentioned last update podcast that I was kind of burned out. Like, I gave up. I stopped listing. I just stopped sourcing. I just didn't care anymore because I just wasn't seeing action. And then the reality of, you know, I got bills to pay. I have kids to take care of, you know, hit me. And I'm like, I just can't do it. I can't sit around. I need to make things happen. And so I had some decent hauls, which had a ton of inventory. And I'm like, I'm going to start listing 20 to 30 a day again. And sure enough, within a day of me, I think I had like 25 listings. Like, I have almost $1,000 a day. Then I have a $600 day. Then I have another $500 day. And then I have, and it just kept going. And so the dopamine's hitting. And then I'm like, I will list no matter what. I don't care if I'm up till 3 a.m. I will make sure I get these listings done. And sure enough, eBay now is back to normal for me. And it's just weird like that, because there was a time earlier in this year where I was doing consistent listing too, and it wasn't working. So I'm not sure what's going on. It could be maybe the items I'm sourcing now are items that people are looking for. I will say, of all the items that I've sourced, I've sold pretty much within 48 hours. And part of that has been, I'm actually sourcing at the thrift again. Just because
that's interesting.
It is interesting. Now I have some theories, because, you know, for us, I don't know how long we've been saying we're done with the thrift. I think maybe it's been like 3 years now. I am done with the store that shall not be named. I have not stepped into a Goodwill yet. Okay. But here's what's going on. So San Diego has been crazy. Okay. And I'll share this later on with the whole flooding debacle at my place. But if you watch social media in the last few days, you would think we were like on the Gulf Coast, or we were hit with like some kind of crazy Category 5 hurricane. No, we just had a one full day of rain, and there was all kinds of flooding. And we've had rain over the last few weeks. We had really cold weather, and cold for San Diego, meaning you wake up in the morning and it's like 30 something degrees, 40 degrees. And so that keeps people from doing garage sales. So garage sales have been brutal. On top of that, local deals, I find, have been kind of difficult lately. I find that everybody really wants top dollar. Things have changed a little bit. Earlier in the year, it used to be people just want to get rid of stuff. So you got to really be hunting for deals. Now, I do like local deals better than garage sales. The reason I do is because you already know what you're buying when you show up, right? You're not like spending the morning driving going, I don't know what I'm going to pick up today. Or you're not going to a thrift store going, I don't know what I'm going to find. You already have an agreement pretty much of what you're going to buy, or at least it's pretty close to an agreement. It depends. Sometimes I'll offer in my initial, like, hey, wondering if this is available. Would you take so-and-so? But if I find that's a lot of items, I usually say, hey, I was just wondering if I could stop by some time and take a look at your items. So that's just a tip for me, for others to think about. Like, sometimes it's better to negotiate when you get there, because you might find out they have other stuff, or you may be able to negotiate even better if you read the room and you find out that the person just wants to get rid of the stuff. And they just put a price because they just felt whatever the price was a good price. And then you talk to them and then you realize it probably was kind of high. I had one individual, they set their prices on, and I can't share some of these because these are, I realize I've killed my own market when I've shared on Instagram and on the podcast, because a lot of people put safe search. And people have told me, hey, Orlando, thank you. Now it's my safe search. And so there's a certain type of item that people have, like the people on the marketplace have listed high. One person listed it high, then another person the next day listed the same thing that they had high. And so it kind of set the standard for everybody. But when I showed up to their house and I talked to them about it and I showed them eBay comps, they're like, oh, I was just pricing based on what I saw on the marketplace. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's why you had a high price. And I said, well, here's the reality. And they're like, oh, you know what? yeah, you know what? I'll give it to you for like 25% of what eBay's selling it for. And then we made a good deal, right? So, but local deals have been tough. And I just, you know, one day I said, you know what? It's time for me to go to a thrift store. I had an hour to kill. There were two thrift stores. One was next to a store that shall not be named. And I'm like, let me go to this store first. And then if I don't find anything, I'll go over to the store that shall not be named. So I go in there. Lots of great stuff. Great price. Now, shoes were price high. Clothing was price high. But there were some vintage toys. There were some vintage Mac equipment. And all these items. But they were priced really well. And so I picked up a bunch of vintage toys. Like, it was like an old school, like Barbie's Friend Stacy and Loving Family of Fisher Price, new in boxes stuff. And I paid $70 for it. And within 24 hours, I sold one of the sets for $70. And so I'm like, all right, sweet. Everything else is going to be a profit. And so I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll go back someday. Well, 2 days later, I had to take my son to something and I had to drop him off. And I had 45 minutes to kill. So I go into a thrift store and I'm looking around and they're bringing out like full on carts. And I've never seen this at this thrift store. They had gone to selling everything online pretty much. And you couldn't really find anything in there. And in this cart, there was a Cricut printer. There was Bose speakers. There was a Bose media set. There was a Bose remote, like all these items. And I'm like, what? They're not going to try to sell this online. And the prices were cheap. Like the remote was like $8. The media unit was $20 that you could flip for like, you know, 60 to 80. The remote's 40. They all this stuff was there. And I'm like, this is interesting. I've never seen something like this before. So, you know, I'm talking to the lady there and I'm asking her like, how do you price your stuff? And she's like, oh, I just check on eBay and then I check online and, you know, whatever I think it should be, I'll just put it. So I went to the register to go pay. And I passed on a subwoofer because both subwoofers, they're pretty hard to move. Like, you can't move them. And they had a price at $40. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to buy all this. And she's like, do you want the subwoofer? I'm like, yeah, but I can't do $40. She's like, you know what? You can have it for $10 if you want. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. Like, $10, I'll do it. So anyways, next day, I paid $40 for everything. And I sold two or three of the items for $100. So I'm like, all right, I can keep doing this. You know, so I go to another thrift store, same pattern. Pretty much everything I've sourced at a thrift store recently, I've listed right away and it's sold pretty much right away. Now, that could be because maybe, you know, I know a little bit more. I'm sourcing better items. I don't know what it is, but here's my theory. Why are thrift stores now, at least in San Diego, putting out good stuff? So my theory is this, and let us know in the comments whether you agree or disagree after you hit subscribe and smash the like button. I think just like we've been saying, eBay's been dead, sales have been slow. Imagine if you're Goodwill. Imagine if you're the Salvation Army, right? Where you're not advertising everywhere, right? You don't have millions of buyers. Maybe you have a lot of resellers that buy from you, but maybe you don't have a ton of people buying. And so maybe they're just not selling stuff, right? If we're not saying things are selling, they definitely are not selling items. So my thoughts are they're thinking, you know what? We would actually get these items sold and moved if we just put them out on the sales floor and people showed up, whether they be resellers or just your everyday person trying to get a deal at the thrift. And so my, I don't know if I would put a lot of money on this, but my prediction for 2024 is that thrift stores are going to end up having good items back again on the sales floor, at least in San Diego. I don't know about the store that shall not be named. They may still be doing Shop Goodwill, but I can tell you I've been to about 4 to 5 thrift stores just in this last week where every single one had good items at great prices, which, Mike, our experience has been, it's been zero. Like, you'd go and you're just like, why did I waste my time here? So anyway, what are your thoughts? You think I'm off a little bit? Does it make sense I said?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, who knows? There's so much. You know, trying to predict the future is so tough because, you know, a lot of us are having a difficult time really even understanding exactly what's going on now, you know, because we're trying to parse through the information. All we can go based off of is past experiences and kind of just what we're seeing. And yeah, so who knows? Hopefully there's a positive, like if we're seeing good things again at decent prices in thrift stores, that's good. But at the same time, we've been saying for a while that in our current situation, it's kind of in some ways easier to source than it is to move items. So you're still stuck with that same situation of I'm able to buy things off of people sometimes for pretty decent prices, especially if it's like, you know, you could buy whole collections of things now. I feel like, I mean, people, I always use RC cars as an example, but like somebody who's like into RC cars, that's their hobby. They're kind of getting out of it because money's not as it's not flowing the way it was, you know, 4 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever. So they're like, man, what am I going to do? So they sell everything. They just offload their hobby. And so you can buy somebody's entire hobby or their entire collection for pennies on the dollar sometimes. But you run into the issue of you kind of can't move this stuff right now because money's not flowing. The same reason he's getting out of that hobby or she's getting out of that hobby or selling that collection is the same reason nobody's buying those collections, because the money is just not there. So you could still be stuck with the, like, you're getting good things, you just can't move it right now. So that's it's a catch 22. But you know, if things are moving, maybe you're not able to find them as easily. So if you can hang tight, like my thought is, if you can source decent stuff now, be moving enough to at least be making the same profit or the amount of money you need to make, right? Like if you're a part-time and you need $500 a month in order to pay that car payment or pay your student loans or whatever it is, as long as you're still making that, or if you're full-time, as long as you're still able to cover the bills, then sometimes it's worth maybe hanging on to some of those like more sought after collectible items that just aren't moving now. If you could be picking it up at decent prices.
Oh, I agree. I do believe Q4 in 2024 and 2025 could be huge, but I it all depends on how things land. Could we keep going on like this for a while? We could, but you know, I do see hope around the horizon. Is it around the horizon, around the corner? Somewhere. I see hope. I see light at the end of the tunnel.
Over the horizon.
Over the horizon. That's what it is. I really do. But I agree with you. And so we'll see. So I'm going to, you know, right now it's still raining in San Diego. So I'm gonna keep going to the thrift and see what I find. I will tell you, though, clothing and shoes out here in San Diego is still brutal. It's crazy the prices that they want. But if you get into everything else, it's not so bad. Things have definitely shifted. So, hey, before we move on, something that is at a great price and will help you save a ton of money is My Reseller Genie. So a lot of you have signed up, right? Because I think January 29th is when you're supposed to be submitting your taxes. And hopefully you're getting that tax return and you're getting everything ready. And you might be stressing out going, I didn't do any bookkeeping. I have no spreadsheets. I don't have anything. Well, My Reseller Genie will help you a ton. They'll import everything from eBay, from Poshmark now. And what they'll do is they'll take that info. They'll give you a profit loss, cost of goods sold, your shipping costs, all those items. And it's a great price. And so if you use our code, Pure Hustle, by going to the link below, you'll get 15% off the first month. And this is also, I believe, is this our last podcast of January, or do we have one more? No, we have one more. I think we have one more.
Yeah, one more.
But yep, we are giving away, well, My Reseller Genie is, one free month of My Reseller Genie. So again, share with us something that you offloaded in this month. It doesn't have to be a hustle of the week, that you're glad that it is gone. Okay, so put that in the comments. And then first podcast of February, we'll do some random, you know, generator, and whoever ends up, you know, getting drawn, we'll get a free month on My Reseller Genie. But in the meanwhile, if you just want to take care of stuff, go to the link below and use our code Pure Hustle, and you'll get 15% off the first month. All right, random stories, Mike.
All right, so this one, like you were saying, it's always nice to do local deals. Local deals is a great resource when it comes to being able to source items or even sell items. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of on the lookout for a particular handful of items that are in a niche that I'm kind of breaking into. It's not barbecue stuff. It's something else that I don't want to mention right now. But I've kind of been paying attention to prices and seeing where things are. And like you mentioned too, sometimes people like charge more on Facebook Marketplace. They don't really know how to gauge things. And at the same time, I've noticed in this area, people are actually really good, as much as it sucks, at valuing their items. Like, people aren't just dumping items at low prices. Like, people are doing the research. And I think part of that is just the, it's a younger generation for the most part who are on these platforms as much as they're on them. And so they're a little bit more it's a little bit more natural for them, I guess, to just figure things out and figure out Facebook Marketplace. So they're not just like, oh, I want to sell something. It's like, oh, let's figure out how this thing works. And so they research their items and they kind of learn how to use it. So I have had a really hard time finding items in this niche that I've gotten into. Well, I was at work the other day and I don't get very many breaks at work. I'm very, very busy. But I happened to be like running to the restroom and I saw something on Facebook Marketplace. It was a killer deal. I'm talking like, if I was able to pick this up, I'm looking at probably like $600-$700 net profit. So I'm like, sweet, like I've got to jump on this. So I send the message right away and I've kind of learned, because so many people are like, I won't respond to, hi, is this available or is this available? If it's up, it's available. I've gotten so used to people being frustrated at that. And it's kind of annoying because, I mean, that is a natural thing because to ask, because one, Facebook Marketplace puts that in as like the default statement. And the other thing is like, what else do you say? Like, if you're okay with buying it at that price, you're not trying to negotiate. You just say like, yep, this is, I want this. Like, does that work? Like, so is it, let us know in the comments below, like what is your opening line if you're just wanting to buy something outright? So my opening line was, because I couldn't go that day, I had some people come to town, was, you know, can I, what time tomorrow works for me to come pick this up? Is this, you know, can I get it tomorrow? And I'm watching on the Facebook. Every so often I'm looking on my phone. They're not responding at all. I don't get any responses. And so my thought is they must have gotten a ton of people asking about it. It must have just sold right away. No big deal, whatever. Sometimes you lose. And then the next day I'm doing some stuff and I get a Facebook Marketplace notification and it says that that person marked it as sold. And I'm like, yep, sure enough, it's sold. So I click on it. And when I clicked on the item, it brought me back to the conversation. And in the conversation, they responded like a few minutes after I did.
Oh, that's the worst.
And said, yep, absolutely. When can you come? And I'm like, it was mine. But for whatever reason, Facebook Marketplace, like I'm refreshing. I'm looking at the conversation. And so I know like I didn't get it. But at some point, Facebook Marketplace like updated their thing. The message came through, but I never got a notification about it. And so I lost it. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's like watching. It's like that's my G.I. Joe moment, right? Like, that's my G.I. Joe. That was my like. That was my item. Like they said, yes, I could have told them the time I was coming and it was mine. And instead, Facebook Marketplace decided that it was going to glitch out on me. And it just sucks to think like you lost something. And it's not your fault. It's like it's like when you're watching like a sports game and it, you know, if a team loses, even if it's your team, like if they messed up, it's like, all right, they lost. But when you lose because of a bad call, you're like, that's not right. You know, and that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like I lost out because of something out of my control. And so it's just, so annoying. So I guess two things from this. One, let us know below if anybody has any Facebook Marketplace complaints, like what's been like the glitch that has messed you up, if you had experience like that. And then two, what is your opening line? Like, is what I did a good one? I kind of like the like, when can I come? Or does this time work to pick this up? Are you available after 3 p.m. today? Because that lets them know you're ready to buy it. You want it. Obviously, if you were going to negotiate, you could offer like, will you take 50? But sometimes it's like, I don't want to negotiate. Like a certain items, if the price is right, I'm going to jump on it, because if I feel like if I start negotiating, I'm going to lose it to somebody else.
It's funny. You sound like a sales, like a closer. You know, it's it reminds me, I used to have this parent that when I was an administrator would come in and he was in sales and he was so good at manipulating me in the sense that he would want something and I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to steer him away from it. And he'd be like, hey, listen, so are we going to do A or B? And none of those were the options that I was presenting. Right. So he closed it. Right. I had no options. I had to choose that. And he won, you know, and I learned a lot from that guy. And I, you know, it only happened once, but once was enough for me to go, I'm not falling for that again. But yeah, I do think there's something to be said about, you know, hey, can I pick this up tomorrow? Because, yeah, most people, when I've said that, they'll say, yeah, the great time. I'll see you tomorrow. Because when you ask that question, like, would you take whatever, then you get into a back and forth and you might lose the person. So, yeah, that's very wise. Very wise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just saying something like, I could be there at 3 p.m. Or anytime after 3 p.m. today, which time works best for you. Right. Like, because then you're putting the ball into their court. Like, yeah, they've already in there. It's like as if you've already bought it. Right. You've already got to that point. So that's one thing that I do. But then again, it's always, you never know, right? You never know. Sometimes it's easy. You got a question. You can ask a question on something like, oh, you know, how tall is this? Or does this, what are the dimensions? So sometimes questions work, but even we know, like sometimes the question comments you get on eBay are the ones you're like, if I've got too many questions come from somebody, I don't even want to sell it to them. So if you're trying to sell something on Facebook Marketplace and somebody just offers you a price and says they're coming versus somebody else is asking questions, look, I'm going to the person who's just ready to buy it, right? Because the person asking, so it's tough, you know, trying to find that balance. So yeah, again, let us know in the comments below what works best for you, because I'm guilty of doing, when I first started, I was a lot of the, hi, is this still available? Because it's easy. It's already in there in Facebook Marketplace. You just hit it. And I don't think it's a stupid question, because I can't tell you how many times people say, if this is still up, it's still available, like !! And then so you're like, you do the, all right, $1,500 or whatever, $800 works for me, or $200 works for me. When can I come get it? And they're like, oh, sorry, this already sold. And you just want to like take a snapshot of like, if this is up, it's still available, you know, and send it to them.
Oh, no, I find that's a time killer. Is this still available? Like, I don't even know. It's just, it's wild to me. All right. So, yeah, I don't even know what to say. So I am very frustrated in the sense that, you know, months ago, remember we were supposed to have a hurricane, right? And it was supposed to be huge, first time hurricane in San Diego. You know, I filled up a bunch of sandbags. You know, I had them outside. I put them, you know, at the patio door and every entrance possible that water could get in. Well, there was supposed to be rain here in San Diego the last 4 days. Well, the sandbags were still there, but it didn't matter because my place got flooded. So my living room got flooded, my laundry room got flooded, and unfortunately, my garage got flooded. And that means that inventory was damaged. And it's interesting because you never think about what you should do to prevent anything from getting damaged until it gets damaged. And so, and it was weird because, you know, I came home and I'm like, wow, it smells kind of like sewage a little bit. Like, that's kind of weird, you know? And so I don't think anything of it. You know, I take my jacket off, I go sit down. And then in my living room, I sit down a feet away from like a huge puddle of, I don't know what it was, but it was bad. And I have a septic tank because I'm out in the country, and the septic tank's about, I don't know, 20 feet away behind my fireplace, like somewhere out there in the backyard, whatever. And my guess is the land got so saturated that it couldn't hold any more water, and it came through my fireplace. I don't know what happened, but here's what happened. I had so many death piles in my garage. And it was the worst. Had this terrible feeling of, I should have taken care of this a long time ago. Like there's no reason for these items being here. Now, luckily, I had most of the items kind of like elevated a little bit. Like I stacked them on something that wasn't a storage thing, and so they didn't get damaged. I did have some retail arbitrage items that ended up getting water damage on the bottom of the boxes. And luckily right now, the flood company has been running those like $2,000 dehumidifiers for like the last 48 hours. I don't know what my power bill is going to be, but and it actually dries it out. I'm pretty sure there are resellers that use the dehumidifiers. If you do, let us know below if you use one and what model do you use, because I don't think I need one here. In San Diego, we don't really need them. You know, you only need them if you have extreme weather changes. But I will tell you, within a day of seeing those dehumidifiers, I've seen a lot of my boxes been restored back to like nothing ever happened. Now, I will have to open a couple of them to see if things actually got damaged inside. But, you know, a few lessons I learned here. Number one is, if you have a death pile, make sure you store that death pile in a way that it won't get damaged if there's flooding. Now, again, I say that, but in San Diego, this has never happened. This has never happened to me. And so, don't know. Second of all, it's always a good idea when you're storing stuff to have some kind of elevation when you store it. Don't put it just on the ground. And I'm not saying, I mean, Mike can attest to this. It's not like I just have stuff in the garage. Well, some stuff I do, but it's not like I just have a bunch of stuff just on the ground, right? I have totes. So totes are a good way to protect your items, right? None of my items that were in the totes got damaged. I have shelving. I have Costco shelving. And so a lot of my items are elevated. And the other issue is the insurance issue. And so I do have insurance. The issue with insurance, though, is I think there's certain perils that are covered by your insurance. When it comes to flood insurance, I don't think the flood insurance I have covers if water was moved from one location to the next that led to flooding. Like if a pipe burst, I believed it would have covered things. But the fact that this was like some natural occurrence. Now, that being said, if I did have the insurance, I don't think it would be worth it. As far as flood insurance, I have insurance if like somebody breaks in and steals my inventory, all that stuff. I have that insurance. But, you know, my deductible is $500. So if I lost like $800 to $1,000 worth of inventory, I don't know if it's worth me paying the $500, you know, to get that money reimbursed, because then my rates are going to go up anyways. So that's something.
And a lot of times you have a deductible, right? Like, you know, if you've got a little bit of damage, if you run first to insurance, by the time you pay the deductible, and then like you said, sometimes your rates go up on stuff like that. Maybe it's worthwhile, but sometimes you could do the work, you know, yourself, or you just let it go. You throw your stuff away if it, you know what I mean? So yeah, you got to kind of weigh that out.
Yeah. But you know, it's, I got to tell you, it was tough. It made me reconsider my storage in the fact that I need to do a better job. I kind of, you know, I got lazy in the fact that, you know, before I was living in a condo. And in the last 3 years, I've been living in a pretty, to me, it's a decent sized house compared to how I grew up. And the storage space is, I have a ton of storage space, and the land that I have is a lot of land. And so I just gotta store things better. And so sometimes, you know, you store things better because it's, you don't want to waste time, you know, trying to find items when they ship or when you have to, you know, pack them up after they sell. But sometimes just better, you know, to ensure that your stuff just doesn't get damaged. And it was a huge wake up call for me. I'm going to, you know, in the next few days, I'm going to have to rearrange everything. Cause what happened is I had my older son and I, we spent like 3 hours getting everything out. Cause we had to get everything out. The flood team had to show up. The flood team had to dry everything out. And so I just only imagine how weird it looked when in front of the house, like I have this huge overhang patio, and there's all this random like toys, random retail arbitrage boxes. But it took a huge, you know, moving of stuff. And we had to move that stuff quick before it got damaged any further. So anyway, just things that you don't think about these things until it happens. And sometimes it's better to take care of things ahead of time. So I'm definitely going to organize better. I'm going to see, you know, if there's some kind of, I don't know if I need it though. I don't know if I need the flood insurance, but if there's flood insurance that will take care of if there is like a real flood. And by the way, you know, you insurance companies to me are scammy. Like they're just scams because I had two friends whose houses burned down, and that insurance company was trying to like lowball them on everything. Like they had to fight for everything. And so make sure you look at your policy. But hey, you know what? At least I made sure that all my really important inventory was indoors in really safe places that it couldn't get damaged. Even if things flooded, they wouldn't get damaged. So just think about that, because you never know. I mean, you may have a box of, I don't know, let's say vintage bobbleheads that are worth $2,000, and they're just sitting in your garage and you haven't listed them. Not that this happened to me, but let's say you did. The day that gets damaged, you're going to go, I so wish I listed this. I so wish I stored this better. So it was a lesson for me. So anyways, that is my sad random story of flooding. Hey, before we move on, if you haven't yet and you'd like to support the podcast, we do have a Patreon just for $5.55 a month. Now, there are people that have told me we should raise the price. Like things have changed. But, you know, as of now, Mike have no intention. But if, you know, you want to get in and you want to make sure you're in the Discord too, you can support us for $5.55 a month. And what that does is give you access to the Discord, in which we have a ton of great resellers, all kinds, from vintage people to not vintage people, but vintage goods. Maybe there are vintage people.
There might be some vintage people.
We do. To, you know, we also have retail arbitrage. We have Amazon sellers. We have all kinds of sellers. So just go to our link below or go to patreon.com/purehustlepodcast and sign up there. And of course, on social media, we are Pure Hustle Podcast on all platforms. We are Pure Hustle Cast on X. You can always give us a call at 619-738-1170 or shoot us an email at purehustlepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't seen our podcast live or, you know, any of our videos, jump on over to YouTube. Make sure to subscribe. And as always, thankful to all of you that leave us iTunes reviews. They definitely help us in the algorithm. All right, we ready to talk about some good news?
Yeah, it is time for our hustle of the week. Let me pull up sound effects. Sorry, I was getting the other thing up too. All right, here we go.
Come on, hustlers. It's the freaking hustle of the week.
Yeah, hustle of the week. So in case you're not aware of what the hustle of the week is, the hustle of the week is our opportunity to kind of share the highlights of some people's reselling success. I mean, honestly, sometimes we talk about the lows because we're real. I mean, I feel like some podcasts or YouTubers, like their only thing is just to complain about eBay because, you know, complaints work. Other people, you know, only want to brag about how much money that they make. And Pure Hustle Podcast, we try to be real, right? Like sometimes there's highs, sometimes there's lows. Sometimes we make mistakes. We want to share all of those things. But we want to balance that with the fact that reselling is incredible. And one of the ways that we do that is with our hustle of the week. And so if you want to share a hustle of the week, when you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever, wherever you're at, use hashtag hustle of the week and make sure to tag us. And that's just a way to share with us what went well for you. Like, because there are a lot of successes. We want to celebrate those wins. And so that it's just a good reminder that if you're out there, you're hustling hard, good things are going to happen, and eventually you're going to come across some good opportunities. So our first one is from Dennis, Instagram, Free King Flipper. So he says, "Hi guys, I'm Dennis, the Free King Flipper on YouTube and Instagram. I was invited to a private pick at an estate sale by a friend of the family about a month ago. The friend said she needs the condo cleaned out and was having a sale. She said there's probably not much that I'd be interested in, but come by anyway. I was the first one there and had some time to look before anyone else showed up. After looking around upstairs without finding anything, she said I could look in the basement. I went down the stairs and immediately found some Bose speakers, tape deck, Vers, and a few Yamaha receivers, VCRs, I'm assuming, a few Yamahas. Then around the corner, found some open boxes on the floor. I looked inside and saw the tip of a Star Wars TIE Fighter. I couldn't believe that the box was full of vintage 1977 stuff. Whoa. Other than the land speeder, X-Wing fighter, and figures, there was this piece of cardboard with a nice graphic and pegs to hold 12 figures. I had no idea what it was at the time, and so I put it back in the box. I paid $100 for the whole lot. Later when I got home, I did some research on it, and it was called the Star Wars 1977 Early Bird Figure Display and is made to hold the first 12 figures released. You got this in the mail before the figures were available in stores. It is rare and hard to find one in good condition. Remember, it's cardboard and over 45 years old. Listed it on eBay and it sold for $500 plus shipping, and that's without the figures. Figures will be sold separately. Thanks for the great show and all the knowledge." Holy smokes, if just that cardboard thing is sold for $500, I can only imagine what those figures are going to sell for.
Agreed.
Like, that's crazy. 1977, which, if I remember right, 77 is the year Star Wars came out, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's pretty, man, I can't even imagine finding, because I mean, Star Wars is one of those things. There's always money in it if it's the right stuff, but it's also one of those franchises that have been like over mass produced, right? Where there's just so much stuff. And so, yeah, if you get the right years, there wasn't maybe as many. But to get something from 1977, like, you know, that's going to be gold no matter what. So holy smokes. That's definitely a king flip there, Dennis. That's amazing.
Now, there's a couple things, too, I just want to add on to is, number one, they obviously knew he was a reseller, right? It's a friend of the family, right? So, again, it never hurts to share your reseller. And those are famous lines always. I don't think there's anything you're going to want or you're looking for. I can't tell you how many times I've had that happen where somebody's like, "Hey, come on over. I don't think there's anything you really care for." And sure enough, that happens to me. It's happened to me a lot too when I do like estate buyouts. Not full estates, but I'm the guy before the estate clean out guy. And I've had a lot of connections in San Diego. And people are like, "Oh, I just have a bunch of China," or "I just have a bunch of this." and you're probably not interested. And I always say, no, I'll show up. Let me look. Because what happens in the corner, there's something they didn't think was valuable. And I go, actually, what about this over here? And it happens to me all the time. So, yes, nice work. At first, I thought it was freaking Flipper, but it's freaking Flipper.
Yeah, freaking Flipper.
You got to read it right. Good job, Dennis. All right, so I really like this one. This is from our YouTube comments, and it's fresh off of our bolo from last week. So our bolo last week was, one of them was 1996 calendars, because people aren't using them now in 2023 because they align. And so somebody had commented on our video, said, hey, this is from Tanja Bruner from our YouTube comments, said, Hustle of the Week, thanks to you guys. Found a stack of old calendars at an estate sale the day after listening to the episode. One was 1996, but grabbed them all. Who knows, right? They ended up giving them to me free because they were just happy someone was taking them. Listed the 1996 X-Files opened, but unmarked calendar the next day for $49.99. Had views and watchers quickly, so raised it to $59.99. Less than 24 hours later, sold for full price. Thank you guys. Love all the great tips and encouragement from you. So there you go. You need to tune in. You need to tune in because that bolo was a 24-hour turnaround time. Since we said on the podcast, they went and picked it up. They went and listed it, and it sold. That's pretty crazy to me. Because it was wild because when I posted on Instagram about it, a lot of people weren't getting it. And I had to explain to people, like, it's the same calendar. And then finally people were catching on. So definitely keep an eye. Nice work there, Tanja.
Yep. And it's kind of cool, too, because I can only imagine, like, if you were to, I mean, like, even going back to, like, 1977 with Star Wars, you know, there's going to be things that came out. Like, you can make a new calendar today, mass-produced, of something that was from, you know, 1996 that was popular then. But to have the one from 1996, it's just that I could see why that is an appeal to some people. All right. Our next one comes from Cool Old Stuff from the Discord. So don't sleep on free. Back in October, there was a yard sale in my neighborhood that I was unable to go to due to family obligations. I know what that's like, man. On our way home at 9:30 at night, we drove past the house where the yard sale had been, and there was piles of stuff on the curb for free. So I dropped off my wife and child at home and went back with a flashlight. I picked up a few items and I'm still selling through them. The latest, a set of hubcaps just sold via eBay's global shipping program, and sold a set of four Triumph TRS hubcaps for $70 each, or $70 plus shipping. Man, that's so the set of four for $70. Yeah, so from free to $70, you can't beat that. I mean, that is one of the nice things. Free is one of those things you got to, I feel like, do a little bit more work. But I mean, if you go to a garage sale anyways, you look through a ton of junk and maybe you find a handful of things that are valuable. It's the same thing with free. If you're digging through some stuff on the corner of a street that someone set out, you're probably looking through a lot of junk and then maybe occasionally a couple of things that are worthwhile. So it's not that much different. You just don't have to worry about negotiating and all of that. So, man, what a great deal.
And look at the hustle. Went home, dropped the family, grabbed a flashlight, and at 9:30 at night was going through the items. That is hustle right there. So
that is hustle.
And that's the kind of people we got on our Discord. So thanks for sharing with us Cool Old Stuff. All right, what is your hustle of the week?
So my hustle of the week is, it's kind of weird because it's not, I wouldn't say it's like a massively profitable one. In fact, all things considered, I probably just barely did more than break even. But years ago, I paid up a little bit at a store that should not be named. And I picked up a big, like, sailboat, I don't know what you would, like a marketing piece for, I think it was Sam Adams. So Samuel Adams beer. And it was just kind of cool because it was like 3 feet long and it had the big sail and it had the box and it was like they had it on display and it was they had it on sale. And I was like looking them up at the time. And at the time I saw some going for like $300. And so I think I paid $60 or $70 for this. But in my mind, I was like, oh, you know, it's going to be worth it. I got it home. I found like a chip on one part of it. I'm like, OK, I got to disclose that. And also, like the strings hadn't been tied right. So I tried to untie them and I'm like, OK, somebody else is going to have to mess with this because I don't know how to tie these strings up right. So I listed all of those things. I took good pictures and it has sat for years. I've had this thing and it's big, like the box that it went in, and it took up space.
I think I remember this.
I've moved to one, two, three. This is four different places that I've had storage, you know, items in. And it just every time I haul it, I'm like, this is just the worst. I've never even had offers on it. And I finally had an offer on it. And so we took it, didn't even try to negotiate because I'm like, at this point, I just want this thing gone. And the nice thing was it was already boxed. We already had all the dimensions right. We already had it all taped up and it was ready to just like print out the label and stick it on. So it was nice to finally have that thing off my chest. And like I said, I did a little bit more than break even. So it's a hustle because I didn't give up on it, I guess. I could have, but maybe because I paid up for it, I'm like, this thing is going to go. At some point, it's going to go. And it did. And to be honest, I'm happy to have my money back. You know, so even though I didn't make a huge profit, I didn't lose money. Even after like 4 years of just hauling this thing around, did I waste time? Absolutely. Was it a bad buy? Probably. But I stuck with it and I made my money back. So
there you go. It's my a good feeling. It's that's how I feel. When remember when I had that huge statue that you always give me a hard time about that was in the studio, and man, when that thing sold, I was so glad for that thing to go. So now my hustle of the week, it's an interesting one for me because I went to a garage sale, and there was a guy that worked for a sports team. And he had a lot of new attacks clothing. He had Tommy Bahama pants, Tommy Bahama shirts. He had some Nike stuff. He had like all this clothing. And generally people would, you know, sell this to you for a decent amount because, you know, that stuff retail costs a lot. But I always tell people, like, don't be afraid to ask people what they're looking for it, because you might think, oh, this person probably wants 20 a piece for each of these. Because, you know, they're worth over 100 retail. And so it was about, I think, 10 pairs of pants. And it was 5 shirts. And it was a few, like, hiking pants. Like Nike ACG, which costs money. Like, those pants can be, like, $200 to $300. And I remember, you know, I showed up and I saw all these clothing. And I said, what are you selling all these? Do you, like, own an eBay store? Do you have a warehouse? It's like, no, I work for a sports team. And whenever, you know, there's an event or something, the ownership buys us all new clothing to wear for the event. So they'll buy us new Nike pants, or they'll buy us, you know, if it's like a Hawaiian theme, they'll buy us Tommy Hawaiian shirts and Tommy pants. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And he said, well, what ends up happening is a lot of the times, the event gets canceled, or they, you know, or they tell people, well, we bought you these. You don't have to wear them, but you can have them. And so a lot of people on his team, on his staff, found out that he said, hey, if you don't want them, I'll take them and I'll figure out what to do with them. And so he had like a tote full of this stuff. And, you know, I did leave him my business card. And so I just said, well, knowing that you got all this stuff for free and you're not, you know, obviously, you don't own a store or anything. What are you looking to do with for all this? He's like, how about $30? I was like, okay, $30? Sold. Well, it was a great buy. So I've sold Tommy Bahama stuff, which I don't recommend sourcing, but you know, I paid $30. So I sold at I think 5 or 6 pairs of pants for around $150 to $200. Okay. Now that's not very much, right? Some of the pants I sold for $30, some for $50. But, you know, it's Tommy. I needed to move it, right? So I made about $200 there. Then the Tommy shirts I sold for close to $100. So now I'm at $300. And then a pair of Nike ACG pants that I had, I sold for $120. So that $30 sale turned into $300 to $400. And it was just because I had this conversation with him. I realized he wanted to get rid of stuff. And you know, now I still have a few pairs of pants left. So when all is said and done, I'm probably going to end up making $500 to $600 net based on that one buy. So you never know. And I'm hoping he'll give me a call because he says he gets stuff all the time. And this guy literally has, you know how we have reselling totes? Well, he has those totes, but they're just stuff from, you know, the organization that no one's ever worn, that no one wanted to wear. It's just kind of wild. So anyways, that is my hustle of the week.
Love it.
All right, so what are you looking forward to here?
You know, I think the weather's warming up a little bit here. It's so cold. It's January in Central Texas, which I'm learning is cold, but I'm hoping to get to some garage sales again. I've done okay at some estate sales, but I feel like your chances at garage sales of finding things that are more in the decades I'm interested in or have more knowledge about are higher, right?
Yeah,
whereas when I walk into a lot of estate sales, I feel like I'm walking into like my grandparents' home, and I don't see as much profit. Now, that doesn't mean there's not as much profit there. I might just have blind spots, but I'm excited to get to, you know, hopefully a couple of garage sales or at least some offer up stuff. I feel like people have been a little bit lazy on that with the cold, but if nothing else, just keeping my listings going and moving items. What about you?
So it's kind of weird. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm looking forward to more sourcing at the thrift, which is weird. Because I never thought I'd say that. But, you know, not being that I keep finding consistently good stuff. And again, I don't share a lot of this on social media. I've actually been sworn to secrecy by many resellers in San Diego who know about the podcast. Like, it's funny. I'll be in the thrift store and they'll come up to me and they're like, "Now, Orlando, you're not making an Instagram story here, are you?" I'm like, "No, I promise. I will not expose this store. I promise you." And so I'm looking forward to it. I have found another store, which I do think is a very good store to go to. I recently went to the store and you know how you have all these little like bags full of toys and sometimes they're just junk, but I found these old 1980s toys. I paid like $10. And you know, if it's when it's Hustle of the Week time, I'll share what it was, but paid $10 and I should make $200 to $300 on it. So
nice.
It's just, you know, again, if this was the store that shall be not be named, I'm not sure I would have had the same luck. Well, I don't call it luck. I would not have had the same experience as I did at this store. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to reorganizing after the flood. My poor Ron Swanson cardboard cutout, his feet, you know, he lost some of his feet a little bit. That's the saddest part to me. Like, actually, that bothers me. Like, I don't care that I lost like $500 worth of inventory. It's the fact that Ron's feet aren't as strong anymore. So I'm looking at reorganizing. I have, you know, what's funny is, remember my hair clipper days when I made like thousands of dollars with hair clippers? So I still have about 30 to 40 pairs of hair clippers from that time of returns from Amazon. And these were people that either just opened it or I don't know what it was. But I didn't know that you could sell like hair clippers and people just like will buy used hair clippers, throw it in some barbicide that'll disinfect it. I know I had the same face you had when I thought about
it. Yeah, but honestly,
that.
It's true though. Yeah. I mean, if you go to a barber shop, like they're using clippers that are, you know, they just sanitize, but it's been on other people's heads. So the high quality stuff, I get it.
So I didn't realize how many I had until I had to get stuff out of the garage. And I'm like, I need to list these. You know, and the nice thing about it is I just need to make one listing, and once one sells, I just, you know, or maybe I just make one listing of 20. But the difference is that I got to sort through it because some might be missing parts or whatever. But, you know, I can rebound some of my money. Here's what's interesting is those clippers, I can sell them pretty close to the same price that they were when they were brand new now, which is kind of weird because I think at Costco they have them, but I think they cost more at Costco now. So when I bought them, they were like 35, and I think now it's like 40 to 45 or maybe even 50 for them. So there you go. Good gold. One of the few times inflation works out for me. And then last of all, you know, I'm just looking forward to more sales. I'm going to stick to being consistent here. I really want to be in a good place once garage sale season is in full swing. You know, it really March is the month here in San Diego where things really begin to take off. And so I want to be very capital heavy so I can buy a lot of good stuff. So yeah, looking forward to that. But it's funny how you're like, it's warming up, and over here it's not warm. Like right now it's 61 degrees.
Well, no, what I mean is it's warm because we were at 15 and 12. Okay, like right. Now we're never getting mind. Up to like 50s and 60s. So
here
that
I am.
Is warm.
Here I am complaining about 61 degrees, but I do pay for it. I do pay for the 61 degrees. So, hey, hopefully all of you enjoyed this episode. It was a little different than others, but we just wanted to keep you up to date on what's going on with us as resellers and share some hustle of the week. And with that being said, make sure to be real,
be relevant,
and be reselling. Peace.
Peace.